10 people, with sharp blades alight, standing before a wall of black and white and red.
Collected, Yesachev, 1173, 12 seconds pre-death. Subject, one of our own Ardents overheard during his last moments.
Kaladin had not been assigned to Bridge 4 by chance. Out of all the bridge crews, Bridge 4 had the highest casualty rate. That was particularly notable, considering that average bridge crews often lost one-third to one-half of their number on a single run. Kaladin sat outside, back to the barrack wall, a sprinkle of rain falling on him. It wasn't a high storm, just an ordinary spring rain, soft, a timid cousin to the great storms. Syl sat on Kaladin's shoulder, or hovered on it, whatever. She didn't seem to have any weight. Kaladin sat slumped, chin against his chest, staring at a dip in the stone, which was slowly collecting rainwater. He should have moved inside Bridge 4's barrack. It was cold and unfurnished, but it would keep off the rain. But he just couldn't care. How long had he been with Bridge 4 now?
2 weeks? Three? An eternity?
Of the 25 men who had survived his first bridge deployment, 23 were now dead. Two had been moved to other bridge crews because they'd done something to please Gaz, but they'd died there. Only one other man and Kaladin remained. Two out of nearly 40. The bridge crew's numbers had been replenished with more unfortunates, and most of those had died too. They had been replaced. Many of those had died. Bridge leader after bridge leader had been chosen. It was supposed to be a favored position on a bridge crew, always getting to run in the best places. It didn't matter for Bridge 4. Some bridge runs weren't as bad. If the Alethi arrived before the Parshendi, no bridgeman died. And if they arrived too late, sometimes another high prince was already there. Sadia's wouldn't help in that case. He'd take his army and go back to camp. Even in a bad run, the Parshendi would often choose to focus their arrows on certain crews, trying to bring them down one at a time. Sometimes dozens of bridgemen would fall, but not a single one from Bridge 4. That was rare. For some reason, Bridge 4 always seemed to get targeted. Kaladin didn't bother to learn the names of his companions. None of the bridgemen did. What was the point? Learn a man's name, and one of you would be dead before the week was out. Odds were, you'd both be dead.
Maybe I should learn names. Then I'd have someone to talk to in damnation. We could reminisce about how terrible Bridge 4 had been and agree that eternal fires were much more pleasant.
He smirked dully, still staring at the rock in front of him. Gaz would come for them soon, send them to work, scrubbing latrines, cleaning streets, mucking stables, gathering rocks. Something to keep their minds off their fate. He still didn't know why they fought on those blustery plateaus. Something about those large chrysalises. They had gemstones at their hearts, apparently.
But what does that have to do with the Vengeance Pact?
Another bridge man, a youthful Vaden with reddish-blonde hair, lay nearby, staring up into the spitting sky. Rainwater pooled in the corners of his brown eyes, then ran down his face. He didn't blink. They couldn't run. The war camp might as well have been a prison. The bridge men could go to the merchants and spend their meager earnings on cheap wine or whores, but they couldn't leave the war camp. The perimeter was secure. Partially, this was to keep out soldiers from the other camps. There was always rivalry where armies met. But mostly, it was so bridgemen and slaves could not flee.
Why? Why does this all have to be so horrible? None of it makes sense. Why not let a few bridgemen run out in front of the bridges with shields to block arrows?
He'd asked and had been told that would slow them down too much. He'd asked again and had been told he'd be strung up if he didn't shut his mouth. The light eyes acted as if this entire mess was some kind of grand game. If it was, the rules were hidden from bridgemen, just as pieces on a board had no inkling what the player's strategy might be.
Kaladin? Kaladin? You haven't spoken in days.
He kept staring, slumped. There was a way out. Bridgemen could visit the chasm nearest the camp. There were rules forbidding it, but the sentries ignored them. It was seen as the one mercy that could be given to the bridgemen. Bridgemen who took that path never returned.
Kaladin?
My father used to say that there are two kinds of people in the world. He said there are those who take lives, and there are those who save lives.
Syl frowned, cocking her head. This kind of conversation confused her. She wasn't good with abstractions.
I used to think he was wrong. I thought there was a third group, people who killed in order to save. I was a fool. There is a third group, a big one, but it isn't what I thought.
What group?
The people who exist to be saved or to be killed. The group in the middle. The ones who can't do anything but die or be protected. The victims. That's all I am.
He looked up across the wet lumberyard. The carpenters had retreated, throwing tarps over untreated wood and bearing away tools that could rust. The bridgeman barracks ran around the west and north sides of the yard. Bridge 4's was set off a little from the others, as if bad luck were a disease that could be caught. Contagious by proximity, as Kaladin's father would say.
We exist to be killed, if we're not dead already.
I hate seeing you like this.
A team of bridgemen dragged a log down into the lumberyard. The Parshendi often set fire to the outermost permanent bridges, so High Prince Sadia's engineers and carpenters were always busy. The old Kaladin might have wondered why the armies didn't work harder to defend the bridges.
There's something wrong here. You're missing part of the puzzle. They waste resources and bridgemen lives. They don't seem to care about pushing inward and assaulting the Parshendi. They just fight pitched battles on plateaus and come back to the camps and celebrate. Why? Why?
He ignored that voice. It belonged to the man he had been.
You used to be so vibrant. So many looked up to you, Kaladin. Your squad of soldiers, the enemies you fought, the other slaves, even some light eyes.
Lunch would come soon. Then he could sleep until their bridge leader kicked him awake for afternoon duty.
I used to watch you fight. I can barely remember it. My memories of then are fuzzy, like looking at you through a rainstorm.
Wait, that's odd. Syl didn't start following me until after my fall from the army, and she acted just like a regular Wensbrand back then.
He hesitated, a lash on his back from a taskmaster's whip. He started pulling again. Bridgemen who were laggard in work were whipped, and bridgemen who were laggard on runs were executed. The army was very serious about that. Refuse to charge the Parshendi, try to lag behind the other bridges, and you'd be beheaded. They reserved that fate for that specific crime, in fact. There were lots of ways to get punished as a bridgeman. You could earn extra work detail, get whipped, have your pay docked. If you did something really bad, they'd string you up for the Stormfather's judgment, leaving you tied to a post or a wall to face a high storm. But the only thing you could do to be executed directly was refuse to run at the Parshendi. The message was clear. Charging with your bridge might get you killed, but refusing to do so would get you killed. Kaladin and his crew lifted their log into a pile with others, then unhooked their dragging lines. They walked back toward the edge of the lumberyard, where more logs waited.
Yes!
A tall, yellow and black-haired soldier stood at the edge of the bridge grounds, a group of miserable men huddled behind him. That was Larish, one of the soldiers who worked the duty tent. He brought new bridgemen to replace those who'd been killed. The day was bright, without a hint of clouds, and the sun was hot on Kaladin's back. Gaz hustled up to meet the new recruits, and Kaladin and the others happened to be walking in that direction to pick up a log.
Oh, what a sorry lot. Of course, if they weren't, they wouldn't be sent here.
That's the truth. These 10 at the front were caught smuggling. You know what to do.
New bridgemen were constantly needed, but there were always enough bodies. Slaves were common, but so were thieves or other lawbreakers from among the camp followers. Never Parshmen. They were too valuable. And besides, the Parshendi were some kind of cousins to the Parshmen. Better not give the Parshmen workers in camp the sight of their kind fighting. Sometimes a soldier would be thrown into a bridge crew. That only happened if he'd done something extremely bad, like striking an officer. Acts that would earn a hanging in many armies meant being sent to the bridge crews here. Supposedly, if you survived 100 bridge runs, you'd be released. It had happened once or twice, the stories said. It was probably just a myth, intended to give the bridgemen some tiny hope for survival. Kaladin and the others walked past the newcomers, gazes down, and began hooking their ropes to the next log.
Bridge 4 needs some men.
4 always needs men. Don't worry, I brought a special batch for it.
Larish nodded toward a second group of recruits, much more ragtag, walking up behind. Kaladin slowly stood upright. One of the prisoners in that group was a boy of barely 14 or 15, short, spindly, with a round face.
Tien?
He took a step forward. He stopped, shaking himself.
Tien is dead.
But this newcomer looked so familiar, with those frightened black eyes. It made Kaladin want to shelter the boy, protect him.
But I'd fail.
Everyone he'd tried to protect, from Tien to Sen, had ended up dead.
What's the point?
He turned back to dragging the log.
Kaladin, I'm going to leave.
He blinked in shock.
Leave? But she's the last thing I have left.
No.
I'll try to come back, but I don't know what will happen when I leave you. Things are strange. I have odd memories. No, most of them aren't even memories. Instincts. One of those tells me that if I leave you, I might lose myself.
Then don't go.
I have to. I can't watch this anymore. I'll try to return. Goodbye.
And with that, she zipped away into the air, adopting the form of a tiny group of tumbling, translucent leaves. Kaladin watched her go numb. Then he turned back to hauling the log. What else could he do? The youth, the one that reminded him of Tien, died during the very next bridge run. It was a bad one. The Parshendi were in position, waiting for Sadeas. Kaladin charged the chasm, not even flinching as men were slaughtered around him. It wasn't bravery that drove him. It wasn't even a wish that those arrows would take him and end it all. He ran. That was what he did. Like a boulder rolled down a hill, or like rain fell from the sky. They didn't have a choice. Neither did he. He wasn't a man. He was a thing, and things just did what they did. The bridgemen laid their bridges in a tight line. 4 crews had fallen. Kaladin's own team had lost nearly enough to stop them. Bridge placed, Kaladin turned away. The army charged across the wood to start the real battle. He stumbled back across the plateau. After a few moments, he found what he was looking for. The boy's body. Kaladin stood, wind whipping at his hair, looking down at the corpse. It lay face up in a small hollow in the stone. Kaladin remembered lying in a similar hollow, holding a similar corpse. Another bridge man had fallen nearby, bristling with arrows. It was the man who'd lived through Kaladin's first bridge run all those weeks back. His body slumped to the side, lying on a stone outcropping, a foot or so above the corpse of the boy. Blood dripped from the tip of an arrow sticking out his back. It fell, one ruby drop at a time, splattering on the boy's open, lifeless eye. A little trail of red ran from the eye down the side of his face, like crimson tears. That night, Kaladin huddled in the barrack, listening to a high storm buff at the wall. He curled against the stone.
I can't keep going like this. I'm dead inside. As sure as if I'd taken a spear through the neck.
The storm continued its tirade, and for the first time in a year, Kaladin found himself crying.